Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Well, tonight, the title of the message is A Life of Increase. I had you guys go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, verse number 9, and verse number 10. We're going to launch out in 1 Chronicles 4. Now, this is kind of one of those sections of scriptures that if you're not careful, you might just skip over it. Because it's right in the middle of a genealogy, and that can be very dry. It can be hard to understand, but in the middle of all this, something takes place in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 9 and 10, that God points someone out. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. We're going to find out why in verse number 10, but it says, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Some of your Bibles might have a little footnote or a little letter next to that name Jabez, and if you go down, it might say literally, he will cause pain. That's what his name is translated. And so because he caused pain to his mother in childbirth, she named him Pain, right? And this is not the cool kind of pain like T-Pain or something like that that we talk about today. This is like, he caused me pain. But look at what it says in verse number 10. It says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And I love this last sentence. So God granted him what he requested. I believe that God saw this honorable heart that thought, God, I don't want to cause pain. I don't want to hurt anyone. God, I know where to turn. God, would you bless me? Would you do something in my life and change the trajectory that I've been on? See, when Pastor Jessica and I were looking at these verses, we saw that when he started to ask for an expansion of territory and for the blessing of God to be on his life and for the hand of the Lord to be on his life, that really this spoke to one word called increase. And that's why we called this message series A Life of Increase, because this really goes into every area of our life. And if we're going to find the increase that God wants for our lives, there's some things that we have to do. Just like this man Jabez, who he had something spoken over him and something that he was living his life by until he finally got fed up and did something about it. We can learn from this prayer and from this man the way that we can incorporate into our lives things that will cause increase to come into our life. And the first thing that I see is that if we're going to find the increase that God wants for our lives, we have to identify any spoken curses. These are hindrances. These are things that are going to stop you. See, we understand that there's blessing and cursing. And curses will stop the goodness of God. Curses are things that are spoken over us, that hinder our lives, that dam up the well of God's goodness over us, that stop the flow of grace, that stop the good things in our lives. These are things that could be spoken by somebody in your life that's close to you. Here with Jabez, it happened to be his mother, but it could have been your father, could have been your brother or sister, could have been some ungodly person, could have been some demonically inspired person. Could have been a teacher or a sergeant in the army, or maybe it was societal, something that's been spoken about you because the way of society going, well, that's how you are, or this is what you look like, and therefore you must be this. And we hold on to those things, and it hinders our lives. And so you have to, first things first, identify. And I believe that's why verse number 9 identifies that he was honorable, but here's the reason why he's honorable. You got to know the backstory. You got to know that there was a curse that was spoken over his life that you're going to cause pain. And all his life, that followed him around.
You know, it's an interesting thing to identify a spoken curse, because sometimes you may not even realize what's happening in the world around you. But we are surrounded every day by demonic powers and things that are spoken over us and into our lives. And they may be very common things that you hear. Maybe you were told when you were young, you're just not good enough at that, or you're always going to be that way, or you're never going to make it to anything, or I don't know what, maybe you have those last words ringing in your ears before you left that last conversation in a divorce, or maybe there's some broken things that your molester or your rapist had said to you and you have identified with that. There are some broken places in us as humanity, and God wants us to begin to identify these places and to take a look at what has been spoken, so that when you identify it, you're going to grab it and you're going to say, hold on a second. This is not what I'm going to identify myself as. Yeah. And I'm not going to live according to what these words have been spoken over me. Yeah. You see, there's power in the tongue and there's power in language. And there's so much power that when God spoke and the earth existed, because there's power in our speech. It's like when you gossip, what does it do? It tears people down. And God calls that tasty morsels. And he tells us to watch our tongue. Why? Because there's power in our speech. When we begin to do these things and we begin to believe the words that have been spoken over us by those that were not used by God. And let yourself not be confused. Don't use these things. Oh, well, they said I'm not going to be, and I'm just, I know I'm amazing. And don't be prideful. Don't let your pride turn this message around. Because this is actually a message of humility. This is a message of saying, hey, these things have been brought into my life, have been spoken over my life. I have found myself to believe them. And then what happens is they become a fulfilled prophecy in your life. And God is saying, hey, Jabez, pay attention here, buddy, because I just went through a genealogy and I stopped it all to talk about what your mama called you. You think God cares about what he says about us versus what people say about us?
Yeah.
God cares. God cares about you. He loves you. He cherishes you. And there are things that we have walked in our lives that we truly believe about ourselves. And I'm going to expose myself to one of them. And if you remember my dad, some of you don't know who he was, but some of you do remember Pastor Jim. And Pastor Jim used to get up here and say, oh, people just called me dumb. My teacher told me that I was so dumb that I was dumber than a sack of rocks. And I grew up my whole life hearing what people had called my dad because he would talk about it from a pulpit. And then, but if you knew this man, he was not dumb at all. And I myself went to kindergarten. They told me I was not smart enough to stay with the five-year-olds to go home one more year, and that left a mark in me. I never forget that conversation. My mom did her best to be like, it's gonna be amazing, you get one more year with me, and I'm like, I'm stupid. And I remember thinking that as a five-year-old, I'm stupid. I'm too stupid to keep going. And then I went into junior high, and I remember going to this, like, school that was harder than public school, and they gave us these college teachers, and I remember I was studying for this test, and I remember my mom, she was so smart, and so she helped me with all the cards, and she walked me through all the flashcards, and she helped me memorize them, and she's like, you're ready, Jess, you're ready, and I'm like, I'm ready, and I go into this history test, and I get a D-. And I'm like, I'm stupid. And I don't know if you remember that, Mom, but I came home and I hated myself. Why? Because I was believing a lie that Satan had been trying to weave into my life so that he could get me off of the trajectory that God had for me. I got into high school and my parents were hosting Oral Roberts. And Oral Roberts came and he met me and he's like, hey, listen, I'm gonna give her a full ride scholarship to Oral Roberts University. I remember going into my high school counselor's office. They were like, what are you gonna do with the rest of your life? So all the seniors have to meet with these high school counselors. And the high school counselor said, I said, well, I have a full ride scholarship to ORU and I was thinking about doing it. And you know what she said to me? She said, well, you're too stupid to even accept that. You will never make it. And then she went on to tell me about her daughter who was going to UCLA and going to be a medical doctor. And I remember in that moment, I truly believed her. And then I had gone on with my life and I'd had children and I'd done junior college and I did Bible college and we were coming back and the church was being handed to us and I'm preaching and people just started approaching me and telling me, you know, when you preach, your voice is so annoying. And I have the hardest time with how much you yell when you talk about God. And it's just, it makes my skin crawl. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm good. Peace. And I put myself away for 2 years. And my husband said to me, what is going on? You are the biggest loudmouth for Jesus that I've ever known. That's why I married you. Why are you being quiet? And I said, I feel like I'm stupid. I feel like I'm stupid and I'm offensive and my voice is obnoxious and all these things that the enemy had been speaking over my life for all my life. And do you know what happened? The Lord got a hold of me, and Dan got a hold of me first. He was like, you better deal with this, because this is not gonna happen in this. And I was like, okay, yes, sir. And I went and I got alone with God, and I just heard the Lord whisper, who told you were stupid? told you? And I want to say to some of you tonight, who told you you weren't good enough tonight? Who told you that you weren't going to amount to anything tonight? Who told you? And Jesus said the same thing to Eve in the garden. Who told you? The snake did. Well, guess who was telling me to? Satan was speaking these little whispers and these little lies. And I was taking them hook, line, and sinker. But the reality is they were becoming a fulfilled prophecy in my life that wasn't from God, but from Satan. And until I took back and I identified what was being spoken over my life, and then I brought it to the cross and I laid it at the feet of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus washed me and cleansed me and healed my heart and renewed my mind and allowed me to step into what God had called me to step into, that's when I began to take some territory. And church, tonight, it is time for you to identify some curses that have been spoken over you in your life. You're not good enough. You have a special need that you'll never be able to overcome. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. And tonight, I want to challenge you to not just be okay with the mediocre, because we serve a God of the extravagant. We serve a God who created the heavens and the earth. And we have to identify the curses that have been spoken over us. Because what happens is when you do not do that, it passes down from one generation to a next generation to a next generation. Yep. Yep. And I'm telling you right now, these generational curses and strongholds are done. And if you're coming to this church, we're going to push you to understand what the Word of God says. We're going to push you to understand your authority in Jesus Christ. And we may live in really hard times, and we may live in hard places, but I will not be moved by what Satan is speaking, and I've got to be moved by what God is saying. And faith has to be my activated force that is moving me into healing, moving me into a new revelation of my mind and my soul, and helping me to step into all that God has called me to be. But not just me, church, because he's not a respecter of persons. He is calling you. He is a purpose. He has given you purpose. He has given you destiny. But you have to first stop and identify what the curses have been put over your life. Yeah. I love this. Psalms 26:2 says, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting sparrow, an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. It will not land. Do not let these words land any longer. We're going to have a moment at the end of this service for you to identify that and to talk to the Holy Spirit and to remove it and leave it at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Because God has a purpose and a call in your life, and we have to get rid of these things. Like Jabez was like, I'm not going to live within the means of being pain in people's lives. Stop the genealogies. We need to change mine. And I believe God cared enough for that one man to stop all the genealogies, because it was boring to read them, and he was like, we need to break this up a little bit. And let's put some faith in these people. Let's remind them that every name has a purpose and has a destiny, and that what they are called by is what they will carry out. This is why God changed names in the Word. This is why God cared about the names that were being given, because God gave you a name.
Aren't you glad that she came and preached with me tonight? Praise the Lord. Here's what it comes down to, is that death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, these curses become pictures of defeat when we've not broken them off of our lives.
Yep.
See, words have power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the Bible says those who love it will eat of its fruit. Yep. And we have to be careful about what type of fruit is being spoken over our lives, what things that we're partaking of. Those pictures will become realities. Like Pastor Jessica was saying, they become self-fulfilled prophecies that, yeah. Oh, they said I'm dumb, and then I failed the test, I guess I'm dumb. And all of a sudden, we start living according to those things. They said I'm a slut, and I've been with so many men, I guess that's who I am, I guess that's what I'm gonna be. Oh, my grandfather was a drug addict, my dad was a drug addict, I guess I'm destined to be a drug addict. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves slipping into these things. But we have to break them. We have to break them in the name of Jesus. See, Jabez, by the words of his mother, was destined to cause other people pain. Yeah. That means that he was already defeated before he even started. And yet, he had to reverse and break those words by directly asking God to do the opposite of what his name meant. Which brings us to the second thing. If we're going to find the increase that God wants for our lives, we have to call on God.
That's
You have to call on God. God is the one who has the ability and power to break and remove curses off of our lives. Don't try and go to your neighbor. Don't go to your friend. Don't go to anyone else. God is the one that you need to seek. See, we can't confront a curse in the natural. We have to call on a supernatural God who breaks the curses that are over our lives. Let me show this to you in the New Testament. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 3. Powerful verse that Pastor Jessica reminded me of today. It was a joy to study this with her. Galatians chapter number 3. In fact, we're preaching more of her notes than we are of mine. Praise the Lord. Yes. She's saying no. See, she's not stupid. The girl's smart. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says this. It says that Christ has redeemed us from the what? From the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Let's just stop right there for a second and think about this. Jesus was hung on a cross made out of wood. So when Jesus was hung on this tree, notice it says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Therefore, Jesus became the curse for us. The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, there was the greatest exchange that could ever be made, his life for our life, his righteousness for our unrighteousness, his riches for our poverty, his health for our sickness. See, this is the great exchange that happened on the cross, his purity for our impurity. He didn't ever sin. He was perfect, and his perfection came and was hung on the cross, and because he was undeserving, he became sin for us. He became the curse for us so that we now could receive his life and no longer be cursed, no longer have to live under those things that are spoken, no longer have to live under the sins of our fathers and the generations that were passed on, no longer from Adam who passed down this sin nature from generation to generation to generation to generation. No, Jesus Christ stepped in like a Jabez who was more honorable than all of his brethren, and he said, it stops here and now at the cross. Verse 14, look at this, that the what? The blessing. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you are a Gentile. In Christ Jesus. Notice you have to be in Christ in order to receive this blessing. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, this was a promise that was given to Abraham by faith. And when we believe God, now we receive a greater blessing. And that is God himself. God now comes to live on the inside of each and every one of us. You know, it's interesting, we talk about curses that are spoken, and my dad in 2020, he passed at age 67, and passed suddenly. They said that it was probably a diabetic coma, or, you know, something that happened, a heart attack that was brought on by diabetes. And so it was interesting because, you know, my family has a history of heart disease, and my grandfather died same way, I believe, and his father before him. And I was talking to one of my uncles, and he says, hey, how old was your dad when he died? I said, 67. He says, oh, when I heard that, I just thought, the Roth curse. Now, my beautiful wife, you see this face right here? Can we zoom in on this face right here? No, put the smile away. Put the smile away. She can't do it now. Now she's laughing. But her face just got stone cold. I mean, like, she was ready to go out and just handle some business, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, the fivefold ministry.
I had never heard that before.
She'd never heard it. I had heard it. But in my family, they say that the Roth curse is that all the men have a heart attack and they die at age like 67. And to go on, you know, my uncle started recounting some of the history that his grandfather had died at that age from a heart attack. And my grandfather, his father, had died at that age. And now here Dan had died at his age. Now, just in the natural, I was thinking, well, you know, you're older than my dad. So obviously the curse doesn't hit everybody, you know, like it just, we kind of missed some things there. But, you know, his younger brother had a heart attack. You know, he's younger than my dad, but still had a heart attack. And so in their 60s, you know, just kind of just in their 60s. And I'm thinking, no, no, no. And so my wife and I, you know what we did? We went home and we called on God. We didn't let that thing linger. we identified it, and then the very next thing I don't know if we even made it to the car. We were already, no, I mean, the name of Jesus, that's not us. That's not, no. God, we got to talk about something here.
And off our boys.
Off our boys.
Because we have two boys, so we're like, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, off our generations.
Those words, we cast them out in the name of Jesus. They will fall to the ground, and they will not take root. And we just begin to declare long life, and not pre-taken life, but long full life that God ordains.
And this was not just with that. It was with anything that was generational in our family. You know, the perversions of the generations that have come before us and the drug use and the alcohol abuse and the different things that have been in our family lines, the brokenness. You know, sin runs in the family.
Yeah.
And so as we identify different things, as we are talking about things and things would get brought up or we'd remember something or we'd see something or we'd hear a story from a family member that, hey, this is how your grandfather was on this side or this was something that was taking place on that side, you know? And there was different things, anger and, you know, even with our daughter, I remember we were talking about premarital pregnancy and things like that. And so here we are. And just anytime we would identify something that was in the family line, going from generation to generation, we're going, hey, that's a curse. That's a stronghold. That's something that needs to be broke off. And we would call upon God. And we would start to do the work in the spirit because you can't fight it in the flesh alone. You have to call on God who has a supernatural power and ability to come upon your natural ability. And now you got a supernatural experience.
Well, and you know, we make these inner vows inside of us, and I'm probably teaching all breaking free in pieces, but we do. And I'm never going to act like my dad. I'm never going to turn out like my mom. I'm never. And we make these things inside of us, and you end up doing it. Why? Because you're trying to overcome something that's spiritual with your flesh.
Yeah.
And we cannot overcome the enemy in our flesh. We have to overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony. And we have to be able to tell him who he is and who God is in us and the authority of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ at work in our lives. So when you don't know what to do and when you start identifying things and you start hearing things, like I sat in that room and that was a room of grief. It was literally his dad had just gotten removed out of the house to bring to the coroner. And I remember they were all sitting around and everybody's in shock. And to hear everybody, oh yeah, the Roth curse. I could have swung blows at people. I mean, because I was like, what? Get in faith. This is ridiculous. We are all Christians. And I mean, I wanted to just go off on everyone because either God is God or he's not.
Yeah.
Either God is in it or he's not. Yeah. He either ordains our days or he doesn't. You see, God knows the number of our days, people. And when I stood in that room with Dan, I heard God say, this is his time and this was his time for me to take him.
Yeah.
And my spirit man went at rest. So for us to give credit to Satan that this is the Roth curse, no, you don't get to have that.
Yeah.
This was a man of God, and he's where he needs to be, and we are going to continue to serve God. And sometimes we're in fear over these things that have been spoken. Oh, you're going to have, you know, because it's in your family bloodline, you're going to have cancer, and you're going to have this, and you're going to have that. Believe me, we've had breast cancer in our family for, what, generations, great-grandmas. And I'm like, so when I tried, it tried. 2 years ago, and I was like, no. And I just saw myself standing up against it going, you will not. This is stopping. You weren't able to get her, and you ain't getting me, and you're not getting Chloe, and you're not getting my grandkids, you're not getting my great-grandbabies. And let me tell you something, church, we need a call on the name of God. That doesn't just happen because I say it. It happens because I call on the one who can make it happen. I call on the one who is all power and all strength and all glory and all goodness. I have to press in and I have to call on the name of Jesus. Jabez didn't go to his mom and said, why did you call me this and cause a family fight? No, he went to the one, it says he called upon the God Yahweh.
Yeah.
Church, We've got to call upon God in our times. We got to call upon God in our issues. We got to call upon God in our frailties. You got to call God. You got to call on God when you need healing. You got to call on God when you don't understand what's happening, but He does. We got to call on God when we don't know why the world is the way it is, but we know God's hand is in it and that He's using it for His good and for His glory, and that salvation will reign, and that He's coming back for His bride, and that the church is calling Him home. The end. He will return for His bride, because we're a bride that calls on the name of God. Hallelujah. I want to propose something to you. I sat on that front row on Sunday morning and I heard about the war breaking out. And I was broken inside because I didn't know what to think about it all. I didn't know what to think. Guys, I don't know. And we can have our political views on who's running this country and who's not. I will not curse God's anointed.
Come on.
I will not. And you better watch yourself, Christians. You better pray. That's your position. Hit your knees.
Yep.
And stop your judgment.
Come on.
And God said to me, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to show you something. And I said, okay. And on that front row in first service, it was like I got caught up in a vision. And I saw people in Africa crying out to God because they had just been slaughtered and their family members were dead. And they were in the middle of a church like ours, and everybody had been slaughtered just not even a month ago. They were being murdered and high ranks, you guys, because they were Christians. And our president did send people in to take that out and get rid of that regime that was killing them. And he brought them to safety. You may not even know that. And God said, I heard their cry. And that was my response. I saw Venezuela. I saw them hurting and having nothing to eat and all of their land taken from them. Just listen to some of the stories, church.
Yeah.
And God said to me, I heard their cry, daughter, and I responded to their cry. And He said, there was a season a few years ago where you were hearing about secretly all the Christians, that all the Iranians that were becoming Christians. I don't know if you guys had heard about that, but it was like top secret, and we weren't allowed to talk about it because the mosques were empty, because God was showing up and there was a mass salvation happening in Iran.
Yeah.
And God said, I heard their cries. Church, when we don't understand what's going on, it's bigger than us.
Yeah.
Stop trying to play God and trust God. And God takes care of the people that cry upon Him and call out to Him.
Yes.
When you see it in the Old Testament, there are people that hit their knees and they ask God, look at Daniel, who was going to be shut up and thrown into the lion's den, but he would not stop hitting his knees. And he cried out to his God three times a day. Church, we're such judgment people. We are getting caught up in TikTok reels. We're getting caught up in news on the right side and the left side. But what if God's hand is on us right now? And all of this is because He's coming back and He's wanting His church to see the bigger picture. And this is not about us. This is not about humanity living perfect lives, because that's not reality, church. But what is reality is that we call on God, that I will not allow those things of this world to attach itself to me, but I will call on the name of Jesus, and I will break the strongholds, and I will break the curses, and I will break those things that come over our nations and over this world, because there will be a mass, hear me right now, church, there will be a mass salvation and harvest, and it's coming, and you can either be on the wrong side of it or you can be on the right side of it. And we as a church need to begin to call on the name of Jesus more than we ever have done so before.
Yeah.
Jabez didn't go to anyone else but God.
Yeah.
Because he knew that nobody else could change the trajectory of his future and his destiny and the call on his life unless God did. God cares about humanity, but God is also ready to come. God is coming back for His bride.
Yeah.
And we need to be people that call on the name of God. And we don't have to take a position in these things, but what we do need to take is a position to our knees. And we need to ask God to get a God idea and get a God vision and get a God dream and get a God's heart for these people, because God loves humanity and there's not one that should be lost. But are we praying like we should pray? Are we praying like Jabez put himself in a position to get this supernatural dropped into his life? Church, I'm going to challenge you to start praying. So when you see things that annoy you, turn your heart around and start praying. Turn that TV off and start praying. Turn off that Instagram and start praying. When you start having a conversation with a coworker at work and you can get irritated with each other, no, turn off that conversation and begin to speak life. Begin to speak the power of God. Begin to start praying over the things we don't understand. We aren't in the back rooms. We don't know what's going on, but he does. He does. And shame on us for not praying enough, church. It's time for us to start praying. It's time for us to start praying. Every day, 12 o'clock in the chapel, our staff is praying until Easter. Any of you are welcome to come. I'm going to open it up, Pastor Teresa. Open those side doors if you want to come. We're praying. What are we praying for? Revival. We're praying for God to change people's hearts. We're asking God to do supernatural things. I believe we're going to begin to see the dead raised. I believe we're going to see eyes open. I believe we're going to see revelation. I believe we're going to see the power of heaven fall on us on this earth. But we have to begin by calling on the name of Jesus. We've been so bound, we've been so deceived. Church, let's not fall into the sin of this world. Let's stay together, let's stay in unity, let's stay in love, and let's look to Jesus, and let's call and cry out as God heard their cries and delivered them from evil. Guess what's happening? He will come and deliver those that are in need as well. God hears the cry of his people,
And
he doesn't abandon us. And here was Jabez crying out to God. You're the only one. And this is what I need you to do. Can you please bless me indeed? Sorry. That was not in my notes. Okay. That must have been God wanted us to talk about it, because that was not in my notes. But we're going to be a church that prays and stops judging. All right. Last point. You guys ready? Still love me? If you don't, I don't really care. Okay. Because God loves me.
She broke free from that curse.
Okay. Where did we leave off?
If we're going to find the increase that God wants for our lives, we have to ask.
We have to ask.
Ask
for God's
blessing.
You know, God heard their cry. I saw those people crying, and I saw God coming to their rescue in that vision that he gave me. And I could hear their cry. And what was Jabez's cry like? He had to ask God. Are you asking God for the things that you need? This is a kind of an awkward one, right? Like, there's been so many times I've sat alone. I get up in the morning and I'm alone. I try to get up early enough where nobody's up with me except for stinking Lucy. She's always following me. And I'm up and I'm asking God for impossible things. I'm asking God for crazy things. I'm asking God for unusual things, but it wasn't always that way, because I felt weird talking to God about myself. I could go to God and talk to him about you. I could pray for you. I could pray for your healing. I could pray for everything about you. But in the middle of last year, God said something to me, and he said, "You don't pray for yourself ever." And I went, "Well, what do you mean, God?" And I go, I don't need anything. You're so good to me." He goes, "This is not about just talking to me because you need it. But you're not covering yourself with my presence every day for yourself. You ask the hedge of protection for your kids. You ask for favor for your moms, because I have two moms. And you ask for all these other people every single day. But you're not on your own list." And I went, "Is anybody else like that? I don't know. I feel weird praying for myself, right?" And the Lord was like, "The reason you're so defeated every day is because you're not covering yourself with my supernatural ability to take care of what it is that needs to get done in your life for yourself." And I went, "You're right, God." He said, "I want you to start praying for strength." It was the year of strength last year. He's like, "Ask for my supernatural strength over yourself every day. And I want you to ask for courage, because you're gonna need courage to press through." And I started praying that over myself. And then when he gave us the Jabez prayer, I've been praying that over myself every single day. I prayed over everybody else, but I pray it for myself as well. Why? Because now I got to fill up. Why? Because this world is messed up. And I've got to get all of God that I need, and I got to ask God for what it is that I need. I got to ask God for his supernatural ability in my life. I've got to ask God to help me overcome the thoughts that come, those fiery darts that want to take me out every day. I got to ask God to help me in my finances to make wise decisions, and wise decisions for this house and for the people that work here and for the things that are getting done around here. I need the wisdom of God operating in my life. What are you missing out on in your life because you're not asking God for it every day? You see, God is challenging us to ask him for his blessings. How many blessings are we missing out on? How many blessings? Matthew 7:1-11. Matthew 7:1-11. That sounds like a tongue tie. And it says, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Verse 9, oh, what man is there among you who, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Verse 10, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him? You see, God loves you so much that he doesn't want to give you the things that are horrible, but he wants to give you the things that are good for you in your life. And Dan and I were in Bible college, and we were just two kids, man. We were like 21, I think. And we were just like, we're going to Bible college full time, and we have a full time job, and we just got married, and we're probably crazy. And we were in Oklahoma, which was like a foreign land to us Californians, by the way. And I remember I was training my manager. Yes, I always got the really good jobs that didn't pay me, but they wanted me to train the managers. And so I was like, can you give me more money if I'm training managers? And they said no. And so I was training my manager. She was awesome. I loved her very much. And she had a newborn, and she was newly a Christian, and she was talking to me about God when we would talk, and she's like, listen, I'm going to this church, and it's one of those really, like, cool churches, you know, those gothic churches, and I was like, what is that, you know, like, and she goes, we started a small group for all the young moms and dads, and so we've been reading this book called, what was the book called?
Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People?
Yes.
It's written by a Jewish rabbi. It's not a Christian book and does not have a godly perspective.
And I already was like, oh, great, here we go. And she goes, have you read it? And I'm like, no, I'm reading a million books in college right now, and none of those say that. And so she goes, well, would you come? We're pretty discouraged. All of us are pretty down. We're really defeated. Like, one of the people in our group, their kid just died in a car accident, and they're wondering, why did God allow this to happen? And all this stuff is going on. And would you and Dan come and maybe just do a little Bible lesson with us? And I was like, okay. Well, let me talk to Dan and let me see. And so Dan's like, well, we should probably say yes, because maybe this is the first thing God wants us to do. And I was like, what do we say to these people? And this was the verse that God gave us. And as we began to go over this with them, well, if you ask for a fish, will he give you a serpent? If you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? How much more than being evil, they know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more is your Father in heaven who will give good things to those who ask of him? You see, God wants to bless you, and God wants you to ask for the good things in life. God wants you to know, yes, life is hard. In this world, there's going to be fallen things, but God is good, and we've got to call on the good, and we need the good of God and not the evil of this world operating in our lives. And we can only get the good of God when we begin to ask God for his goodness in our lives.
It was interesting because one of the guys in that small group was just frustrated as all get up. I mean, he had angry eyes. He had angry face. It wasn't resting face. It was angry face. You know what I mean? It was just, he was mad. And I remember we're reading the scriptures, and he took us to task on it. He says, but the books that we just read said that basically, let me give you the synopsis of the book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Stuff happens, okay? And you can substitute the word stuff with whatever you think, okay? So
I don't think they were saved.
No, I don't know if they were, but in essence, it was just kind of the whole synopsis of the book was bad stuff's going to happen. That's why bad things happen to good people. And while I understand without God, you would think that. And so it was almost like we can't ask God for anything good. We can't ask God for something because bad things are just going to happen to us anyways. And we had to keep coming back to the scriptures. We had to keep coming back to these things because really that's where God directs our hearts. God left us his word to be the roadmap for us to live by, not just to have some good things. A lot of times, Jesus was a teacher of love. No, Jesus taught us to ask God, to pray, to call on the Lord and say, God, I need a blessing. God, I need something good. I need my daily bread. God, I want to be a fisher of men. God, would you save someone around me? And the Bible says God is not going to give you evil and bad stuff's just going to happen. No. You can pray and confidently expect that God will respond positively.
Yeah, amen.
James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 in the New Living Translation says this. He says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it from them. Yet, this is where I want to zero in on, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Anybody know the King James Version? You have not because you ask not. Most of us could quote that, right? Why? Because somebody was talking about something that they wanted and someone said, well, you have not because you asked not. And it's a simple way of reminding us that all we need to do is go to our Father in heaven and pray. Verse number 3 says this, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. Notice Jabez had a motive in his heart. He said, God, you bless me indeed, but down in that prayer, he says that I would not cause pain. See, at a namesake, he's going to cause pain. But he said, God, I want a blessing, and God, it's not just for me. The blessing that I want is I want to be a blessing to someone else. God, I need your favor on my life. God, I need your hand on my life. I need your grace on my life. I need your power on my life. Not just for me, God. I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want to cause pain. The Bible says that God did something. He granted him what he requested. How many blessings do we miss out on just because we don't ask, because we feel guilty for asking, or because we're asking amiss? There's a fun little story about a guy named Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones dies and Mr. Jones goes to heaven. There in heaven, he's met by an angel that gives him a tour of the whole place, the crystal sea, the columns, the throne of God, the emerald rainbow around the throne. Oh, my goodness, he's seeing it all. My goodness, all the mansions, all the places, the rooms that Jesus has prepared for us. And as they're going through the neighborhood, he notices there's this big warehouse off in the distance. And he says, hey, what's that warehouse? And the angel kind of goes, oh, no, you know what? That can be later. You don't really want to see that. He says, no, I want to see it all. I mean, this is my first day. I need to get the lay of the land. I want to know what's in there. The angel says, really, you do? And he says, yeah, I do. And he run over there. He opens the door, and oh, my goodness, it looks like his favorite store on earth, Costco. It's massive, massive concrete floors, racks everywhere, boxes on every rack, big gold and silver bows on all the boxes. This guy goes crazy. Oh, my goodness, what is this room? And the angel says, no, I don't need to describe it to you. You've seen it. Come on, let's go. It's okay. Let's go. And the guy says, no, I need to see it. And all of a sudden he notices something about the boxes. There's names on every box. They're in alphabetical order. He gets excited. He says to the angels, my name on one of these boxes? He says, well, yeah, you've got a box in there. He says, I got to go see my box. And he says, no, you don't have to do that right. Why don't we just skip that part of the tour? Come on, let's keep going. There's more to see. No, I got to go find my box. Runs down, all the way down, finds the row with J on it, finds J-O, finally gets to Jones, gets to his name. Oh, man, his box is massive, shiny, big gold bow on the top. He can't wait. He pulls it down off the rack, just starts ripping that big old bow off the top and the ribbon and unwraps his big box, opens the top of it, and he looks inside, and his face drops, and his heart drops. Because these were a lot of things that he wanted on the earth that he never asked for. And he looks at the angel, and the angel sadly looks at him, and he says, you want to know what this place is? This is the room where all the blessings of heaven are stored that no one bothered to ask for. Church, how many blessings are we missing out on? Obviously, that's a fictional story that's not in the Bible. But you understand. There's things that I believe that heaven is on the ready. God has angels just poised and ready to go. Bible says that they're ministers sent on behalf of the elect, the believers, at the voice of God, at the command of God's word. They're waiting. They're ready. And yet we're not calling upon God. We're not identifying the things we need in life. And we're missing out on the blessings that God has for us, all because we neglect that posture of prayer. We neglect calling on God. We feel like, well, I'm not worthy. I'm just a worm. I can't ask. But it's God's nature to bless. Church, don't feel guilty about asking for it and expecting it. There is no debit and credit system of heaven that God says, well, hey, if you've been good enough, then I'll bless you. Listen, the blessings of God are not your dessert after dinner. We need to understand this, that God's delight, God's nature, God's character is to bless. And just like your salvation was a free gift that you couldn't earn, don't think for a moment that you're going to earn the blessings of God. You cannot be good enough to earn it. Listen, you already messed it up. All of us are sinful creatures saved by a God who loves us, and it doesn't merit your blessing. No, you get a blessing from God because you go to God, you ask your Father, just as a child would, for bread and for fish. And God knows that you have need of. The Bible says no good thing will he withhold from those who love him. If you love the Lord and you go to God and you call on his name, if you fear God, listen, if you make sure that your life is being lived for him, then don't feel guilty about asking for the blessings of God on your life. God wants to. We're simply trusting God in his word. See, God blessed a man by the name of Abraham in the Old Testament. Abraham simply believed God. It wasn't because Abraham was perfect. Abraham was a sinful man. You can see some of Abraham's sin in the Bible. You can see some of the things that he did that were wrong. And yet, even despite that, he believed God at his word. And because of that, God said something. God said a blessing over Abraham's life. He said, with blessing, I'll bless you. He doubled down on it. You know, anytime you see God repeat himself in the Bible, he's emphasizing something. He's saying, you're not just blessed, you're blessed, blessed. It's like the women talking about a Hallmark movie at the end. Did they kiss? Oh, yeah, they kissed. Well, was it a kiss or was it a kiss? Ooh, girl, it was a kiss. See, God says, blessing, I'll bless you. Multiplying, I'll multiply you. Then he makes a statement. He says, and in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Notice, the blessing wasn't just for Abraham. The blessing that would come through him would eventually become the seed, the promised one, Jesus Christ, who would bless not only the Jew, but the Gentiles, those who are in Christ Jesus, like we read in Galatians. Now the curse has been broken. Now all of a sudden we can come to God and we can call upon him freely. We can bust open the doors of heaven. We can approach the throne of grace and we can find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. And now you can ask God for the blessings of God and you can expect God to show up mightily in your life, but not to spend on your own pleasures. No. I'm blessed so that I can be a blessing. I'm not causing pain. I'm causing pleasure. I'm causing the promises of God to rain down. I've got somebody I need to pray for. I've got somebody I need to minister to. I've got somebody that I'm going to be a channel of the blessing and provision of God through my life because God is faithful. That's what this is really all about. And if we're going to find the increase that God wants for our lives, we have to identify any spoken curses. We have to call upon God, break those things off of our lives, and ask for his blessing. Pastor Jessica mentioned that we're going to take a time of prayer and we're going to do this. But before we do that, I want to make sure that this first curse, the curse of the fall, is off of your life. I want to make sure that if you were to die, that you would go to heaven and that you wouldn't end up in hell. I'm going to ask no one get up, no one leave during this time. Don't be moving around. I want you to focus in because God is speaking to you right now, both live and online. Listen up. Sometimes people get the wrong idea about being a Christian and going to heaven. They think that if they're a good person, they get to go to heaven. But nowhere in the Bible does it say you can be good enough to earn your way into heaven. Sometimes people think if they just attend church or because they were raised in church, their parents told them they were a Christian, or because they're born in a Christian nation or a Christian home, they get to go to heaven. But there's no such thing as a Christian nation. And while your family members may have given their hearts and lives to Jesus and become Christians, everyone will stand on their own before the Lord and give an account of their lives. It's not about your family association or your location on the earth. Not about being raised in church. Sometimes people think that they just warm up a spot in a sanctuary. Pastor, that was when I was a kid, but here I am right now. Listen, nowhere in the Bible says sit in a seat. Call yourself a Christian, that makes you a Christian. It's like going to your garage and saying you're a car and thinking that's going to make you a car. You'll never become a car sitting in your garage calling yourself that. Sometimes people say, well, pastor, my last church I got involved, I didn't just sit. I helped out. I carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader, even got a membership card to that church. It's great. I'm glad you did those things. None of them will get you into heaven. There's no list of good deeds inside or outside of the church that's going to get you to go to heaven. I had one guy one time tell me, pastor, I'm working on my resume. God's not looking for your resume. He's not impressed with your good deeds. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short. No one can make it on their own. You might be thinking, oh, pastor, if someone was witnessing one time, they asked me, do you know God? And I said, yeah. And they said, but do you know Jesus? And I said, yeah, of course I know Jesus. And they said, oh, then we don't need to talk to you. We'll go find someone who needs Jesus. And they went on to witness to someone else. I celebrate Easter and Christmas every year of my life, sing the songs. I could quote scriptures to you, pastor, Old and New Testament. While those are all wonderful things that you can do, none of them, again, will get you into heaven. The Bible says demons believe and they tremble. They're not going to make it. Why do they tremble? Because they know they're not going to make it. The devil himself knows who Jesus is, and you'll find him quoting scriptures in the Gospels. He's not a Christian. He's not headed for heaven. He's headed for the lake of fire, along with those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everybody look at me for a second, even online. Look at your screen. This is not about what you have up here in your head. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance, your involvement, but rather it's about your heart. In John, the third chapter, Jesus is speaking to a religious leader of his day who's probably better than all of us. He was a leader. He could quote the scripture. He could debate the scripture. He could sing the scripture. How many of us could do that? When Jesus is talking to him, he doesn't say, hey, you're doing everything you should be doing, and pat him on the back and send him on his way and say, I'll see you in heaven. No, he doesn't do that at all. He says, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, here's how it is. You must be born again. There's one way to heaven, and that's God's way. Can't get there your way, my way, some well-meaning church committee's way. Not all roads lead to heaven. We got to get there God's way. And Jesus is God, and he said it. He said, you must be born again. What does that mean? Well, it means that you've simply surrendered all of your heart, all of your life to Jesus. When you do that, God comes in, and he makes you brand new on the inside. On the outside, you'll look the same, smell the same, but guess what? You get a brand new start with a brand new heart. God makes you new on the inside. Don't think, well, pastor, let me clean up my act, and then I'll come to God. No, you come to God, and he'll clean you up from the inside out. That's the new heart part. Because God starts inside and it works its way into your life. Don't waste time running from God. Sometimes people say, pastor, I'm young. Leave me alone. I've got more time. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're all one accident, one incident, one bomb, one breath, one virus away from eternity. Jesus can come back at any moment. Don't think you've got more time because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're guaranteed this time, in this moment. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Sometimes people dismiss this saying, pastor, I prayed that prayer. Well, listen, it's more than a prayer. It's a life that's surrendered. And Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. That means you can't just pray a prayer one time and then not follow it up with all of your heart and life. God listens to the words of your mouth, then he watches your life to see if it follows. And if not, you're not going to make it. You've got to surrender everything, all of your heart and all of your life. That means that even if you mess up, you're committed to get up, to repent, turn from your way, and keep following God's way. It's all of your heart for all of your life. Maybe you backslidden. Maybe you found yourself in places you never thought you'd be, doing things you never thought you'd do. You need to repent and come home like the prodigal. Maybe you're lukewarm. You've gotten just complacent. You're a little in, little out, little up, little down, little token prayer, occasional church attendance. God is something in your life, but he's not everything. The Bible calls that being lukewarm. And Jesus said, when I come, I want to find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, he says, I'll vomit from my mouth. And today, if you find yourself in any of those scenarios where you know you haven't yet surrendered all of your heart and life to Jesus, maybe at one time you did, but you backslid or you got lukewarm, and you need to make a fresh rededication to the Lord. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear the sound of my hand, pop on that microphone. Bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're saying, I want to be born again, head for heaven, and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up, I'll count it. You can put it right back down. And the Bible says, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. After I know who I'm praying with, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to invite Jesus into your heart. And guess what? Tonight, it couldn't get any easier, because we're going to pray, like we said. I'm going to pray with you for salvation right there in your seat tonight. Do a little different than we normally do. Not going to call you down front like we normally would. So tonight, hey, easy. Right there in your seat, you can pray. But I want to know who I'm praying with. That's why I'm asking you to simply raise your hand after I count to three and pop my hand on this microphone. Who should raise their hand? If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure today. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you've never done this before, never given God all of your heart and life. I'm speaking to you, or finally, who should raise your hand? Maybe you're the warmer half-hearted in this place. You know that's where you're at, and you need to make a change. Tonight, it's your night. Get ready to get your hands up live and online. Here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. You need to give God all of your heart, and you need to give God all of your life. Thank you. There's one. There's two, three, four. God bless you guys. If I saw your hand, you're welcome to put it down. There's five in the back. I got you over there. Like I said, it couldn't get any easier tonight. I didn't embarrass them, and I won't embarrass you. If you need to surrender everything to God, maybe you need to renew your commitment. Just get a hand up real high. There's five wise people already. Anybody else just want to make sure? Let's give you one more moment. If your heart's beating out of your chest, you broke out in a sweat and wish I'd shut up, I think God's trying to talk to you right now. Is anybody else? Let's go for God. If that's you, just get a hand up real high. Couldn't get any easier. Even online, you can raise your hand right now. If you see that button that raises the hand, you can press that button or even put a little hand emoji in the comment section if they're available for you. But we're going to pray together in a moment. Anybody else? I just want to make sure that I don't miss anyone. Last call. We're going to wrap this up. There's five wise people already. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want you to say these words out loud together. Everybody join in together, but especially those of you that are giving your heart and life to the Lord right now. Say this out loud together. Say, Father God. Oh, come on, everybody say this. Say, Father God, I come to you tonight in the name of Jesus to give you all my heart and all my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past and give me a future with you. I repent. I turn from my ways and I follow your ways. Fill me with your Spirit and lead me, because from today on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm a Christian. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can we just celebrate with our new brothers and sisters? Welcome to the family of God. We're so excited for you. Now listen, tonight on your way out, you're gonna see some friends that have some materials for you. Okay, little green books that say, I'm new, what do I do? It'll answer that question for you. It's absolutely free. That's our gift to you tonight. And you can grab a hold of that and connect with one of those friends for a quick moment on your way out. We wanna make sure that you don't slip through the cracks, because there's no commitment worth anything without consistency. And so now that you're new, you need to keep coming to church, okay? In fact, give us this next year. Keep coming consistently to the Rock. If you can make it every Wednesday, make it every Wednesday. If you can make it Wednesday and Sunday, make it Wednesday and Sunday. Maybe you can make it to the women's ministry if you're a lady in here. They're having a Friday night service. Is that right, Pastor Jess? If you like that tonight, ladies, Friday night, she's going to be on fire talking about the home and some different things. And so it's going to be amazing. So come on out for that, ladies. Maybe if you're a man in this place, you can get a hold of different small groups and different events that are going on. If you're young adults, we got every other Friday night, next week, Friday night, for you at 7 o'clock, all the different ways to just grow in the things of God. Keep reading your Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one. They can get that for you out there in the foyer. Pray every day. That's just simply talking with God. Like we said, call upon the name of the Lord. We're gonna do that right now. I'm gonna invite Pastor Jess to lead this time together. And you wanna understand?
Yeah, why don't we all stand?
Go ahead, stand to your feet.
You know, we talked about in the very beginning about the curses, the things that have been spoken over your life. And I want you to just pray in this moment and in this time. And I want you to ask God, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, is there things that have been spoken over me? It could have been a family member. It could have been a boss. It could have been, I don't know. It could have been a teacher like me. It could have been, it comes from all angles. It comes from wherever Satan can use someone. And let me just say this. That person probably didn't even know they were being used. And you gotta let that go. You gotta let that person go. Forgive them and let that go. And don't let the words of what they said identify what God has for your future. God is calling you into new things. And the second part of that was we have to identify these things. So ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you, like he did with me when I got alone with him. And he said, you think you're stupid? He said, and I said, yeah, I do. I do think I'm stupid, God. And he said, where did that come from? And I go, I don't know. And he began to show me. God gives me just visions. He shows me things like in film. That's how he talks to me, because I'm very visual. But God knows how to get a hold of you. And so ask the Lord to reveal those things to you. And maybe that he'll tell you to go to a verse, or he'll just whisper something to your heart, or he'll remind you of a circumstance that changed your heart, brought you pain and suffering. And in that time, I want you to bring it to the altar. I want you to bring it. You just sit in your seat and you can give it to God and just release it. Just say, Lord, I choose to release this right now. This will no longer, I'm calling on your name, God, and I ask that you would help me turn this in my life. And that I am no longer this thing that they said I am, but God, help me to be what you have called me to be. Help me to be more than a conqueror. Help me to be all that you've asked me to step into. God, give me a new purpose and a new destiny in my life. Lord, show me where to go and what path to take. And Lord, show me what it is you need for me in this new season, because I believe this is a new season for us as Christians. That we're gonna pray like we've never prayed before, that we're gonna call on the name of Jesus like we've never called on the name of Jesus before. That blessings are not gonna look like stuff, but blessings are gonna look like supernatural ability, supernatural understanding, supernatural goodness of God over our lives. And so begin to ask God to then bless you, okay? So there's three steps I'm gonna ask you to take in this moment with the Lord. And I need you to lay those things out, and you may have to weep over that. I cried that I had wasted so many years. That I, if you ask anybody, I it's a miracle I sent my daughter to college, because I was like, I don't believe in college. College is just a joke. They're just taking your money. And I was, I still kind of think so, even after she's going to college. But there's a lot of grab classes. And so, but in that, I had to learn, no, she's learning some deep, beautiful theological things. And God had to heal my heart on these things, because the education system that I was coming across had so beat me up. And so changed my trajectory. And I had to ask God for a new mind in Christ towards them and towards what it is that God wanted to teach me. I'm using me as an example. What is it that's in you? What is it that you are non-trusting of, or you don't like men, girls? Many of you don't like men because you've been abused. Well, what is that? God doesn't call all men to be horrible people. God loves men. God takes care of men. God calls, what is that in us that needs to die? Ask God and lay it at the altar and say, I'm no longer going to live in these means, and I am asking that you would heal me, God, and that you give me a new perspective, and you'd help me to see people as you see them. And God, I call on your name, and I ask that you bless me in this area indeed. I love that he said, bless me indeed. That means bless me in abundance and greatness. And God wants that for you. So as they worship, this is just an intimate time for you, so yeah. I'm gonna pray a prayer.
Before you do, It's 8:30, and we always respect your time, and so if you do need to be dismissed tonight,
you can go.
Don't feel bad again. You're welcome to be dismissed. And so, Father, bless your people tonight, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet.
Go before them.
Thank you that they're blessed and not cursed, God.
Bless them, God.
And Father, what you have blessed, no man can curse.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that you give them victory and success everywhere they go. And whatever they put their hands to, they prosper. And Lord, we declare, say this with me, that the Inland Empire shall be saved. You're welcome to be dismissed, but you're also welcome to come forward as we worship.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us. And discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.